Henry on the ground, 26 for 149, a touchdown run of 13, a long run of 34. Colts had three second-half turnovers, and they were huge. Titans with 24 unanswered second-half points. A big win on the road. So Tennessee and the Colts split their two-game season series, and each winning on the road.
They did it! The Titans won at Indianapolis. They did it! Miraculously. In a crazy, crazy, crazy game, Titans Monday starts now on Jared and the GM. Go ahead and get them in, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts from the Titans win over Indianapolis. GM?
Yes, sir.
I feel like we need to remind people the game was tied with 5 minutes to go when Adam Vinatieri went to go kick, and Crookshank blocks it, and then Ty Smith took it back for the touchdown. And so what was a wildly close game ends up looking on paper like the Titans went into Indianapolis and thrashed them. But with that, let's start with our reaction to the game yesterday. You want to go or do you want me to start?
Go ahead.
Okay, so my thing with this is when Derrick Henry fumbled the ball to start the game, I thought, here comes the Colts curse. Here comes the Colts curse. And then Tannehill had that excellent drive, and I thought maybe Tannehill can overcome the Colts curse. And then Tannehill fumbled the ball. But I have two big takeaways from the game. Number one, the Titans did not play well for 2.5 quarters of this game. Now, in the fourth quarter, and really in the third quarter when they got down 17-7, the Titans kicked it into gear. And Derrick Henry, again, proves to just be the stats he puts up. And I'm not saying Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer or as good as Hall of Fame players, but the stats he puts up are Hall of Fame level stats, the way that he's playing for the last year. And Derrick absolutely took the game over the way that Derrick is capable of taking the game over. But the Titans just really made a lot of mistakes, and they made a lot of mistakes early in that game that if the real Colts were out there, if the T.Y. Hiltons and if the Eric Ebrons and if the Marlon Macks and if the good Colts were out there, they probably would have scored more points. And you probably would have been trying to climb out of a hole all game as opposed to be down one possession and then you were down for two possessions there at the start of the half a little bit or whatever. I mean, it's always good to go to Indianapolis and get a win. It's always good. The special teams that was non-existent for 2.5 seasons under Craig Aukerman has all of a sudden turned into the most dangerous special teams unit in the NFL in 2 weeks. Which I don't know how that happened, but that's a whole different story. But, I mean, look, anytime you go on the road in the NFL and you win a game and you find a way to win a game and you beat a division rival, you have to walk out of there and say, okay, that was a good win. So in spite of all the bad things the Titans did early in the game and all of, you know, the sacks are still a problem and fumbling across the board is a problem, not just Henry, but Tannehill fumbled again, A.J. Brown fumbled. Fumbles are a problem with this team. In spite of all that, the Titans won the game. So it was a good win for the Titans because they won the game. But let's not kid ourselves. The Titans really, really, really hurt themselves until the end of the game yesterday. But it is what it is, and a win is a win. Your reaction?
I would agree with you. I didn't think that at the end of the first half, I thought either team could and should be ahead by 14 points. Mm-hmm. If we don't fumble the ball, you know, we had more opportunities in the first half to jack the score up, and we couldn't do it. You know, we had the ball on the 48-yard line twice, starting a drive, and couldn't get anything out of it. Nothing. So it wasn't, you know, we had the opportunities, we had the chances, couldn't take advantage of them. They had a couple, you know, that we've talked about Doyle forever, and Doyle, for whatever reason, we just refused to cover. And he goes down there and scores right off the bat. You know, then it turns around and we get ourselves in a position on a 4th-and-1 play that I'm sure we'll discuss at some point in time today.
Talk about the Derrick Henry run?
Yes.
I tweeted out before the play, go for it, Mike.
17-7, fourth and one on the 13.
Go for it.
And you're going for it.
Yes.
You don't have enough courage to do that.
The tweets you are the tweets. You can't fake when you tweeted it.
Oh, yeah, you can tweet it right after.
And can you fake when you tweet it?
I refuse to believe that. I don't care what the tweet
says. I tweeted, go for it,
I don't,
Mike.
They are timestamped.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. None of that matters. I know that that has to be something that we have to discuss at a point in time because that was not a smart move.
Really?
Yes.
You were against Vrabel going for it.
I wouldn't have gone for it. You got a chance to get points when you know points are at a premium and you're not going to get points. I mean, what happens if it's fourth and one, you don't get it, and now you end up losing the game by 1, 2, 3 points? That's what I'm saying. You didn't. You're fake.
Yes. What do you mean?
That fourth and one, that was one you should have been screaming about. Screaming.
That I should have been.
Yeah, what a dumb. We can't do that. We can't. How can you turn down points? You don't ever turn. So you didn't think that one through.
When but I said anyway, go for it.
Anyway, it ended up being a tremendous call, tremendous play. I mean, it couldn't have worked out any better, and that was the game changer. After that call, which was a gutsy call on his part, and he made it, and they dealt with it, and completely changed the complexion of the game.
You thought that after play that, was the one that changed the game?
Absolutely.
I thought Landry's pressure of Brissett that forced the interception to Byard, I thought that changed everything.
Yeah, no, that game was, or in my opinion, that was the one that changed the game. Because after that, then we turn around, come right back down, and get an interception, kick a field goal. It's now 17-17. Now we're right back in it. And so, in my mind, that was the key play. And then, of course, you know, late in the game, we made a couple of giant plays. Are we firing the special teams coach today?
We'll get into that.
Oh.
We'll get into that on Titans Monday.
I'm just curious.
I got to believe Vrabel has taken over special teams.
We got any notes about firing the special teams coaches?
We have a couple of years, I think, of that.
We need to pull some of those out, I think.
I have to believe Vrabel has taken over special teams. Because how do you go 2.5 seasons? Because Aukerman was the special teams coach under Mularkey. How do you go 2.5 seasons of just god-awful special teams play, and then overnight become the league's most dangerous special teams
blocked
unit.
Blocked PAT, blocked field goal twice, got a fumble, they've done literally everything. Fake punts that have worked,
fake field goals that didn't work.
What
do you make of the fact that the Colts didn't have their guys? I mean, no Mac, Hilton, no Ebron, no Luck.
It does not matter. You think nobody's got sympathy for them? Nobody in this business cares. You got to go out there. You got to beat whoever lines up. It's that simple. So I thought it was a great win. I thought it was great for a lot of reasons, but... I thought it was really, really important to, you know, get a division win on the road against this team, you know, in a game that was going to be tight. And I thought, you know, the second half, we played much, much better after the fourth and one. I mean, we were a completely different team, and I think it was obvious. So, nice win.
By the way, the time stamping of the tweets, my tweet that said, go for it, Mike, was at 1:53. The Titans touchdown Derrick Henry tweet was at 1:54. Thus, even though the more Floyd brings it up, the more I do think deep down inside, I may have been wrong and Vrabel may have been wrong and maybe they should have kicked the field goal. I did. You were expecting me to get on Vrabel for wanting to go for it. And when I saw the play,
the only time you've ever gone after him on fourth down, this is the one you should have and you don't. So that goes to show you the logic in your fourth down appreciation. I mean, it's unbelievable. You got no reason. Why didn't we go after him? Because it worked.
No.
Because I tweeted it.
I tweeted, go for it, Mike, which is my seal of approval. That means the reason I tweet that out is because if they don't get it, then I can't walk back and say, hey, they shouldn't have gone for it. I said, go for it, Mike. So I'm in the same boat with Mike.
I thought the end of the game with the big plays. I mean, I thought
so
that
many
was
big plays.
Sensational.
And how about the stones on Vrabel and Arthur Smith? Because on that third down, the touchdown pass to Raymond, I turned to my dad and I said, okay, what do you do here? Because it's, what was it, third and six or third and eight or something like that? I'm like, do you try a little short pass to Humphreys or Ferkser or somebody like that and hope that you get the first down and then run the clock out and win the game? Or do you just go with Henry and just bleed the 40 seconds and give the ball back to Brissett? And then Tannehill and for Arthur Smith to dial up the bomb to Raymond. And I'm sitting there watching him chuck it, and I'm thinking, where's this ball going? And I see Raymond running. I'm like, oh, my God, what a play. What a catch by Raymond, by the way. I mean, what a freaking catch by Khalif Raymond. And the stones on Arthur Smith and Vrabel to dial that up in that situation, you got to tip your cap there to those guys. You know, they've done a lot of things I don't totally agree with, but that chuck to Raymond, that was a call. That was a great call. That I gotta give it. So with that, it's Titans Monday, which means your phones. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I would just caution everybody before they get all up and down and all just, oh, my God, yes, yes, yes. Let's remember who the Colts did not have out there on offense.
We really don't care. Doesn't make a bit of difference.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Plus, who is Floyd giving his three game balls to? We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. I would give my game ball for the holiday shopping season to Authentically American. That's right. Use my name, Jared, J-A-R-E-D, with the promo code at checkout. You'll get 20% off of everything you order from Authentically American. Are you proud of what you're wearing? You should be. Your clothes should be made in the USA with that high-quality, made-in-the-USA material found only with my friends at Authentically American. Sweaters, sweatshirts, hats, Oxfords, socks, vests, jackets, more. Our company uses it for all of our apparel, and your company can use it as well. Authentically American. Online at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. Again, use the promo code Jared. That's my name, J-A-R-E-D, for 20% off. I wear Authentically American in my own time, and of course, all of our gear here from 102.5 The Game is Authentically American. 615-737-1025. Jared of the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This for the lead, 46-yarder. Returns it, and the Titans have stunned the crowd here in Indianapolis.
They didn't just stun the crowd in Indianapolis. I was stunned when I saw it. Two blocked field goals yesterday, although one of them, the other one, Vinatieri can't really kick from far anymore, so he's kicking it as low as he can, and you get a hand on it, whatever. But
and once it goes past the line of scrimmage, it's not counted as a block anyway.
So that doesn't actually count as a block.
Nah.
So there's that. But, I mean, that kick changed the game. They're sitting there with 5 minutes to go. Indy's lining up for a kick. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I hope Vinatieri misses. And, you know, you can run it with Henry and, you know, Ferkser and Humphreys and Brown. And all of a sudden, you get down there, you kick a field goal with 29 seconds to go, get out of there with, what would it have been, 20-17? Get out of there with a 20-17 lead. Then as they're going to kick it, I'm thinking maybe Kalu can get his hands on another one. So I'm watching Kalu come off the edge. I'm thinking Kalu's going to get there and block the kick. And then as they go to kick it, I see Cruikshank standing right there. Un-freaking-believable for the touchdown. And I got up as soon as they started running it back. And I'm like, they're going to score a touchdown. And my dad was sitting there, and he was like, hold up. And then he waited like a solid 5 seconds after Ty Smith ran into the end zone. And then was like, no flags?
Waiting for a flag.
No flags. All right. Floyd, before we get to your phones on Titans Monday, who gets the game balls today? I use that play because you could give Ty Smith a game ball for his touchdown return, change the game. Crookshank for his block. I mean, a lot of guys, even in the special teams department, could get game balls off of the way that they played yesterday. But you only give out one offense, one defense, and one special teams game ball. So where are the game balls going today?
Right. On special teams, I got to give both those guys one. I would give Crookshank and Trey Smith. And really, I mean, yeah, really, you could give Smith a game ball for defense, too. You know, he caused that fumble at the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a giant play. So he really came out and made some big plays. So I got to give it to those two guys. On defense, I would give it to Logan Ryan. I thought he played everything yesterday. He, for a while there, had the only pass rush we could get. Kept bringing him on a blitz, but he was good in coverage. I mean, he's just doing more and more and doing it at a really high level. And I think on offense, I would give it to Tannehill strictly because we were really bouncing around there for a while and we could not find our way. And Tannehill, after the fourth down, that next series, he came in, he was in complete charge. And after that, the whole game turned around in my mind. You know, then it was kind of like, okay, now we're back on track. And so I would give it to him. But we all know Derrick Henry had another great day. Even guys like Firkser, you know, went out there early. Now he didn't, he had one.
Dropped the ball.
Yeah, one that he usually doesn't, you know, doesn't happen to him, but made some plays. I mean, there for a while, that's the only guy Tannehill could get the ball to.
if you do not give the game ball to either Tannehill or Henry, it's just because you're tired of giving game balls to Tannehill and Henry every week.
Yeah.
The one guy I would consider giving a game ball to, two guys I would consider giving a game ball to, Logan had a great, when Logan had the interception, I said, you know what? That's the gift. The easy Brissett just chucking it at the end of the game. That's the gift the football gods are giving Logan for the game that he had.
Yeah,
the whole game. Kamalay Correa had a great game yesterday. He was there on so many of those runs Indy was trying to do, stopping guys, slowing guys down. I want to say Correa recovered the last fumble or Correa was in on a play, and I was like, good for Correa because I thought he had a great game. And I think Raymond, that was a great catch by Khalif Raymond. And everything they've asked Raymond to do since they brought him up from the practice squad, he has done. And when you know Tajay Sharp goes out, and that means more playing time probably for Khalif Raymond, I am not worried at all about Raymond. He goes in there, he is fast, and he makes big catch after big catch for this football team.
Yesterday was certainly, especially the latter part of the game, was certainly a big day for the down-the-line roster guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and people always wonder what a GM does, and, you know, the constant revolving around the bottom of the roster and trying to find the right combination of the right guys, and it looks like a couple of those guys have been definite hits. So, giant plus.
Raymond, who Floyd didn't want on the team. Raymond.
Why would you say that?
That you didn't want him on the team?
I didn't have.
He didn't make your 53 at the end of the year.
Well, yeah, but because of numbers. It wasn't, I mean, I had absolutely no problem with Raymond.
You took Taywan over Raymond.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
It's a third round pick.
Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Your reaction to the Titans win at Indianapolis. And again, I'll preface everything with saying, hey, Indy did not have their main guys. Joe is going to kick us off today. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just got a couple comments. Really loved the win yesterday. I would give a game ball to Derrick Henry. And because Derrick Henry has allowed that offense to do what it does best, and that's run, play, action, pass. And it's just a great win. I do have a question, though, Floyd, for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
These next four games, are going to be probably the toughest four games the Titans have played, simply because they've got to have a few key wins just to make the playoffs.
Right.
As a general manager, if you're looking for a quarterback, are these next four games the telltale signs of Tannehill's going to be your starter next year, or do you have to see if he can take you to the playoffs and give you one win in the playoffs? Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, no, I'm going to guess that at the end of these four games, we'll have that'll be a pretty good indicator. And I'm not sure. I mean, you'd love to go to the playoffs, and you'd love to get a playoff win. You'd love all that. But I think, you know, as you're finishing, I mean, these next four are going to be barn burners for us, and yet they're going to be all, you know, all of them important to win. So, I mean, we're going to have to play a lot better than we played yesterday to find a way to win these next four. But, I mean, that's where you are, what you expect.
I mean, this may be an unpopular opinion. Everybody is just smacking their gums about how great Tannehill is today. And I know you gave Tannehill the game ball, and I am not taking anything away from Tannehill. I wasn't overly impressed with how Tannehill played yesterday. I mean, I thought Tannehill played the way Tannehill's been playing, but he didn't do – it wasn't like Tannehill threw for 500 yards.
He's never going to, though.
Pulled a football out of his rear end.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't.
I mean, he's never going to. The key is how he operates the offense, and that's what he does. I mean, he gets that thing going, and once he can get it fired up and get it, you know, cranking, get everybody cranking, get him on the same page. I mean, he's, you know, who's Hollister? Who is Hollister?
Well, I liked him in the preseason.
I don't know anything about the guy.
Comes out,
he plays, makes a couple of catches yesterday. He is involving every single person on that offense now. I mean, everybody, and they are. You know, he's making it work.
I'd like to see him involve Corey Davis more. I just don't know if Corey Davis is worth involving more.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you go out there and you figure yesterday, you know, Firkser's making some plays. You know, you've got Raymond's making plays. I mean, all these guys, even Derrick Henry got three passes. I mean, he's finding a way to get it to everybody. So, I mean, I think he's really, really good at what he's done, and he's perfect here. He's never gonna be a 500 yard. But you know what? What happens to us when we throw for 400? We lose.
When's the last time the Titans threw for 400 yards?
Yeah, I don't know. We are not that kind of team. You know, we are not. We're going to go out there and throw it 45 times a game. I mean, that's just not who we are. So, I mean, the way it's going right now is fine with me.
Well, also, I don't think there's any other team in the league that can bank for 160 yards from their running game every day, which is what the Titans are getting. I mean, is on average like 100.
Well, they can get it, but it may take them two or three guys to get it.
Well, I mean, the Titans are getting it literally from I would say this. I was kind of waiting there late in the game yesterday. I was like, God, now would be a really nice time for Derrick Henry to bust out one of those 65-yarders and change the game. And I think it was like when it was 17-17, and I'm like, you know what? Now would be a really nice time for Derrick Henry to take one to the house. And I was waiting for it, and he almost got it. He almost got his one great tackle by dude from the Colts, who, have you noticed, guys are not trying to go high on Derrick Henry anymore? Because Derek just sticks that long arm out there and stiff arms him away. Dude from the Colts just barreled right into his ankles because he knew that if he tried to go up on Derrick Henry, he had no shot. And that stopped Derek. I think Derek ended up having like a 35-yard run or something, but it kept Derek from having about an 80-yard touchdown run. Let's take more phones. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. What about the job of the coordinators yesterday? I was impressed a little bit. I was disappointed a little bit. I'll explain. We'll get into that next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Titans Monday. This week, Penalty Box Radio hits the streets. Join Justin Bradford and Glenn Blackwell this Wednesday as they broadcast live from the Cherokee Steakhouse located at 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon from 8 to 9. So get excited for that. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tannehill has to be smart here. Fake to Henry. Blocked by Firkser. Going deep, and he's got him. It's a touchdown! Khalif Raymond! What a throw! Titans. Tannehill to Raymond.
This is well done. This is great execution. You're going to see the fake. The quarterback's going to get the movement. And watch the route. He just takes his time working the defender. He knows he's going to work across the field, but he pushes him up the field first to create some separation. That is well done and an excellent throw, but you got to give a lot of credit to Raymond. That's great extension. Watch him leave his feet to make this grab.
I thought that was Arthur's best call of the year. I thought it was a great call. I thought well executed, aggressive. You know, we talked about, you know, going for it. I was like, go win the game. He did, and then obviously Ryan, the protection was very good, and Ryan, you know, gave Khalif a great opportunity, and he went and made a play.
Arthur Smith's best play call of the year, according to Mike Vrabel, Floyd. Best play call of the year on the call to Khalif Raymond. And I will tip my cap. Like, I will tip my cap for the stones that they had to dial that play up when they dialed it up. Because I'm looking at the clock, and I want to say there was about like 3:40 left to go in the game. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, if you get a first down here, after you get the first down, then the next step is now Indy has to start using their timeouts. And they had two because of the failed challenge and the two-minute warning. So if you get a first down, then Indy has to start using their timeouts, then the two-minute warning. If you get another one, the game's over. And that's how I'm kind of thinking. So I'm like, do you pass it or do you just bleed the clock? Like, just have Derek run it, gain three, bring out Brett Kern, and give Indy another shot with 2 minutes and 28 seconds to go or something like that. And Arthur Smith's like, no, I'm going to the end zone. I'm ending this game right here, right now. Bam. And Tannehill executed it perfectly, and Raymond with an excellent catch. So it all worked out, and as Vrabel said, his play call of the year. What did you think overall of the game plans and of the coordinators yesterday? Because I'll be honest with you, I was a little disappointed from Dean Pease's game plan to start, where they just went zone on every play, and Brissett just stood back there in the pocket and just waited for someone, usually Doyle, to come wide open, and he just threw it right to him. And then I don't know what happened on the touchdown to Doyle, because I don't know how the Colts could have one guy that's healthy and the Titans not cover the one guy down around in the red zone, the one guy they wanted to throw the ball to. So I was disappointed with Dean Pease early in the game. And then I think Dean just realized if he didn't blitz on every play, they were never going to get to the quarterback. So he started blitzing every play, and then the quarterback started making mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, we really had a tough time getting pressure again, you know, and that's part of the reason that your zones are so ineffective. Now, we have refused to cover a tight end in zone for a long time.
Well, they can't play zone.
For whatever reason. And I think when you're not getting a pass rush, all of that becomes even more and more difficult. And you understand why you don't want to play man for man if you can keep from doing it, because of the risk involved. But, you know, if that's all you can do, then, you know, you got to do it. And you got to, because, I mean, not putting pressure on him and letting him stand back there and just throw the ball downfield just kills you. You know, those drives just get longer and longer, and then finally they get the ball down to around the 25, and we change our game plan and go into red zone mode, and, you know, all of a sudden we start stopping people. So I wasn't particularly in the first half. I was not real thrilled with that. I mean, I thought we were really, really soft. The truth is, in the first half on both sides of the ball, I thought we were not very good. We'd given up 5 sacks in the first half. We were getting constant pressure. We were struggling to get things going down the field. I mean, nothing really. I wasn't too impressed with anything in the first half. Now the second half, you know, after the 4th-and-1 play, it all changed. It all changed. You know, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was confidence factor. I don't know if it was whatever it was, but. But then we started making some plays, and we got some big plays, and we were more aggressive on defense and more aggressive on offense. So, I thought the second half was really, really well done.
I thought they were about to get worked, and I'm talking about both coordinators. I thought early in that game they were both about to get totally worked. When you brought up the sacks, I don't even know what to make about the sacks anymore. I mean, Tannehill, either he's holding on to the ball too long, or there's not quick options for him to get the ball out, or I don't know. But he's getting sacked way too much. And Arthur kept running him around, and every time he'd run him around early in the game, he'd run him right into a Colt.
We go through these spells where, you know, this is like the third or fourth game in the last couple of years that we've go through where, you know, we just can't pass block anybody. And they, you know, if they blitz somebody, like the middle linebacker, I mean, he had two sacks. I mean, you get...
Are the Colts even a good sacking team?
They're bringing... I mean, they're not bad, but they don't have one. They don't have a star. You know, they just have a bunch of guys. And by that, I mean a bunch of guys. You know, everybody's got two, three, four sacks. So, I mean, I was not happy with that. You know, we had turned the ball over a couple of times. We had just shot ourselves in the foot.
Although that's not really the coordinator's fault.
No. But in the second half, we adjusted well. So
I thought the Titans coaches were about to get worked. I mean, it felt early like they were about to get worked. And maybe it's because I've seen it so many times with so many different coaching staffs against Indianapolis. But I thought Dean Pease, I mean, I love Dean Pease, but I could not believe what I was seeing in the first half from the zone defenses. And I still am having a little bit of a hard time. Like, I think everybody has moved on from this except for me. I'm having a little bit of a hard time getting over the fact that if the Colts had had a healthy T.Y. Hilton and if they had had a healthy Marlon Mack, with the turnovers and the screw-ups you had early in the game, you may not have been able to recover from that. So, like, everybody gets excited about, you know, look at the last 5 minutes and the throw that Tannehill made to Raymond, and look at Henry's fourth down run, and look at, and everyone gets excited about that. And I'm not taking anything away from that except that if the Colts had any players on their team, there's a chance that instead of it being, what, 10-7 or whatever it was, that it would have been a lot worse.
They had, this is my notes at halftime, I put, they had five sacks, pass protection was awful, turnovers were killing us, defense was too soft, we could got absolutely no pressure. We missed at least two opportunities with great field position that we couldn't get out of our own way. And my final note is we took advantage of nothing. And that's why I said at the end of the first half, either team could have easily been ahead by 14 points. And yet it was 10-7. So, you know, after all of that, and I'm sure both teams went in at halftime and said the same thing, which was, you know what, we can't play any worse than that. We should be behind by a lot more than we are. So let's go out and play our ball and, you know, we'll go on from here.
But they didn't have any players. Indy didn't have any players.
I don't care. You sound like that's an issue.
No, it takes away from the win.
It does takes nothing away from the win. Nothing.
Chris Sanders, by the way, yesterday on the pregame show, Chris was banging the table saying Parrish Campbell, you know, because I was like, look at all these guys that are out for Indy. And Chris was like, hey, Parrish Campbell, he's going to make a difference out there. So then the inactives come out and I go, Parrish Campbell's inactive. And Chris was like, what? And so Chris pulls out the depth chart of the Colts during a commercial break, looks at me and goes, who is Marcus Johnson? And then on the next segment, proceeds to tell me how worried he is about Marcus Johnson and how he's worried Marcus Johnson's going to have a big day. I'm like, you don't even know who Marcus Johnson is. And that was what Indy was. I mean, I know a win's a win, and in the NFL, you forget about it, you move on, and you think about the next game, and I get it. I get that that's what you all try to tell me, the football people, about, but I have a hard time getting over Indy and the lack of players Indy had. If Indy had their players...
Do you think that Houston is not happy because...
Not because
of the win and that, you know, New England having 17 guys with the flu or whatever they had was no big deal?
Okay.
I mean, that has nothing to do with it.
Here's my response to that.
Nobody cares.
Is that it doesn't mean, like, again, it doesn't take away from the win. But if you want me to look at the Texans right now and say, hey, Texans just walloped New England on Sunday Night Football, how good are the Texans? I mean, I still think the Texans are an okay team, but I don't think the Texans are a great team just because of what they did last night. I even predicted, the Texans to win. And I don't feel like the Texans are some insurmountable force that the Titans can't beat twice in the last 3 weeks. So I don't feel that way at all. I feel pretty good about it against the Texans. So their win yesterday, because of the circumstances surrounding New England, yeah, it does. It doesn't have the gusto or the juice of a win like that against the Patriots would have. Just saying. Take care. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Do I owe Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, do I owe him an apology? Because I have been parading for him to be fired for at least a year. Maybe a little bit longer than that, to be perfectly honest. And the Titans special teams have come out of nowhere. Where have the Titans special teams come from? We'll discuss next here on Jared and the GM. Hey, it is the season for giving. And ESPN 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations of toys, winter clothing, or school supplies will be accepted right here at the 102.5 The Game studios starting today. Our station address is, of course, the best address. 1824 Murfreesboro Pike here in Nashville. Donations will benefit our kids, the homeless, and the Pencil Foundation. Also, donate on Wednesday, December 4th at the Sudden Service Convenience Store located at 6029 Nolensville Pike in Nashville between 6 and 10 a.m. Plus, we're going to be giving away a Nashville Predators Winter Classic jersey. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. ESPN 102.5 The Game Season of Giving is brought to you by Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Jared and the GM on a Titans Monday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Field goal there ties it to 17. Vinatieri, one block from over 50, one miss from over 50. This one is suffocated, and Dane Cruikshank got it. Ty Smith returns it all the way.
Tennessee special teams have been great the last couple of weeks.
Yes, they have.
They've changed the game.
You hear Tony Dungy and Chris Sims. Tennessee's special teams have been great. Yes, they have. As the Titans block another kick. Floyd, help me out here. Where the hell's this been? The Titans special teams unit was an unmitigated disaster. Ian, back me up here. Correct me if I'm being wrong. The Titans special teams unit was an unmitigated disaster for literally the last year and a half.
At times.
Whether it was punt return, kickoff, kicking, punting. Punting's been fine. Really, no problem there.
Kickoff return, we led the league.
Last year.
And cut that guy. And cut him. So it obviously wasn't good enough. So, again, and now the Titans special teams unit in 3 weeks has turned into the most dangerous. It's like watching the Patriots special teams. They block a punt. No, excuse me. They block a field goal to beat the Chiefs. They force a fumble to essentially end the Jags. And then they block a kick yesterday to win the game. What's going on here? Did Craig Aukerman all of a sudden roll out of bed and decide to be a good special teams coach? I don't know. You're a special teams coach. How long did you coach special teams for?
Oh, probably 18 years.
Okay, as an 18-year special teams coach veteran, what is going on with the Titans special teams, and how big were they yesterday?
They were gigantic.
I mean, they were the game
yesterday. You go back, like you said, you've been on this guy for a couple years. Last year, we led the league in kickoff returns. Is that correct?
Technically.
Technically?
Yes.
How is it technically?
It was inflated by like a 100-yard kickoff return against the Dolphins.
It's correct, Floyd.
It always is, dummy. How do you think you get those giant averages?
I'm just saying.
You don't get those giant averages by returning at 10 yards and falling on the ground.
But that's what it was all season except for that return against the Dolphins.
You know what? Led the league in returns. Led the league. We have had one of the best punters in the league, if not the best, for 2 years.
Yeah, but you don't coach the punter. I mean, the punter is just good.
Everything about it you coach. We went through a spell with kicker where we got our kicker hurt. But other than that, kicker has been a position that's been fairly solid for us.
This season?
And And I just said, no, we went through it.
This season, kickers, man. So even now, when Suckup kicks it, like, I'm getting worried.
And so I think, and now you're seeing us, you know, lighten it up. Winning games left and right, getting fumbles, knocking the ball loose. We've had fake punts. We had fake punts last year that won us a game right off the bat. We threw it. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I mean, could have been wrong, maybe.
You want to know my theory?
I think you owe an apology. I think that's what I think.
That's certainly not going to happen. You want to know what my theory is about Titan special teams?
Don't you feel shallow when you act that way?
That I'm not going to give Craig Aukerman a...
yes. Apologize for what you've said about him?
No.
All right.
This is my theory. My theory is Vrabel has taken over special teams.
Oh.
That Vrabel has either completely taken it over, or Vrabel has said, this is how we're going to coach it from now on. Because Vrabel was a special teams player. I begged Malarkey, because he was a special teams player, to take over special teams. I think Vrabel got sick of watching the same crappy special teams that couldn't do anything right all last season and at the beginning of this season, and Vrabel just said, you know what, I got to take care of this. I got to put myself in charge of this. And Vrabel has put himself in charge of special teams, and that's why the attention to detail has risen so high of late on special teams. I mean, they're going – that, like, Darren Bates' forced fumble, they're going for that. And Josh Kalu's block against the Chiefs, Vrabel had said he'd been doing that in practice.
This is so
I think
sad.
That's Vrabel who's coaching them
this
to do that.
This is so sad. I mean, I'm glad that I have never done anything like that. I mean, this is truly sad.
What?
I mean, I thought you were a bigger man than that. I mean, that was just my impression.
The special teams were all horrible last year.
We're going to be petty.
I'm not petty.
Here you are throwing things out. You have absolutely no basis for it.
Because it doesn't make any sense that all of a sudden a guy whose special teams unit looked as disorganized as me trying to run the Christmas pageant, all of a sudden, overnight, has the best special teams unit in the league.
Just saying.
The guy has turned into Joe Judge overnight.
Misdirected.
How? You don't just wake up and become a good coach. That doesn't happen. You do not go to bed one day as a bad coach, wake up the next day as a good coach. You just don't do that. And that's what's happened with the special teams unit. Remember early in the season how bad the special teams were for this team? Literally costing you games. Could not return a punt. Could not make a field goal. Could not return a kickoff. Could not do anything. And now they're blocking kicks every single game? You criticized special teams. You kept saying during Floyd's three things, you're
disappointed.
Like, it's time for special teams to show us something. I mean, do something.
And,
we got to have
they
something
done it?
And we got to.
And have they done it?
They haven't just
Absolutely.
Done it.
Absolutely.
They haven't
they
just
have
done
lit
it.
Lit it up.
Yeah, they haven't just done it. They've literally changed the game every single week. You can make the argument that it won you two games, because it definitely won you the Kansas City game by blocking the kick. The special teams unit has won you two games, two whole games, and they basically finished off Jacksonville for you too. That's not what we've watched, and all of a sudden that just is what happens with the team. At least like the offense, I can explain why the offense is 25 points better than they were the first six games of the year. Because of the quarterback. But what can we explain about special teams and the rise that they've had over this period of time? And there's nothing that you have that explains it.
Just said.
There's got to be something. There's got to be something you see as a special teams guru that they're doing differently.
Vrabel took it over. Isn't that what you said?
That's the only explanation I can come up with.
It's so
a theory.
Sad.
Why
so
is it sad?
It's just sad.
What am I supposed to assume that Craig Aukerman
so
started coaching better?
Okay.
What do you think it is?
Vrabel took it over.
What do you actually think it is?
I mean, I've just told you. I don't know. Vrabel took it. Vrabel never coached special teams in his life, but he took it over.
But he played special teams.
Yeah. So what's that got to do with it?
Well, I mean, Vrabel hasn't done a lot of things, and they made him head coach right away. So it's not like that.
Yeah, but you don't coach by being a slot on the punt. You don't coach the punt team. I got news for you. And by being a wing on field goal, you don't coach the field goal team.
You don't think that Matthew Slater could coach special teams right now?
No.
Why not?
He's a gunner. Now, he could coach the gunner, but you don't want him coaching the personal protector and the punter and the snapper. He's never done that. Doesn't know anything about it.
So you think Craig Aukerman's message has just finally gotten through? And that the reason that Mike Vrabel kept him when he switched the staff and he moved over and all of the things that everybody in there believes about Craig Aukerman, you think that it's all finally come through at this moment?
How many long passes have we thrown this season?
Like deep down the
long
field?
Long passes.
Two?
Like two.
Both to Raymond?
Two. That's two big plays. Well, I mean, you're not going to get a big play every game. Just like on offense, just like on defense. How many strip sacks have we gotten and picked up and run in for a touchdown? One.
When?
Two games ago. No, it wasn't a strip sack, was it? Evans?
No, that was just a fumble.
Is it a fumble? Okay. How many of those? One. I mean, those things don't happen every day. Doesn't mean you're not coaching your butt off. Doesn't mean your special teams aren't good. Doesn't mean, but you're not going to have a block kick every game. You're not going to have a kick return for 100
yards.
Apparently
they are going to block a kick every game. At least that's the pace they're on right now.
So, I mean, it's the same as any other part of the game. And even though you got guys now, what special teams coaches do is 10 times harder than what some of these other guys got. They're coaching literally every man on the team. Every guy you end up coaching. Now, you know the team better than anybody else, and you know the football part of it better than anybody else because you have to. But it's not easy now.
So you just think that they were bound to block kicks no matter what, and they just happened to be doing it now?
Do you think they have passes in the offense where they try to throw the ball downfield?
Yes.
Okay. And we've had two all year long.
Both to Raymond.
There you go.
615-737-1025. Coming up next on Titans Monday. Do we have to be realistic about the Titans with the fact that Indy's roster wasn't the real Colts? We'll discuss next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next on Titans Monday, it's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game.